The question today is, how should you deal with children who come to the altar asking questions about being saved? I can answer that very short, in a short answer. Be careful. Be careful how you deal with them. Because there's been many over the years that have been dealt with prematurely before they had really an understanding of what they, who they were and what they needed. And many well-meaning preacher or personal worker or altar worker has led them astray with some canned plan, Roman road or something, and caused them to answer in the affirmative and answered all the questions rightly. And yet they grow up not knowing where they're at, not knowing what happened when they so-called made a profession of faith, and really in such a turmoil and confusion inside, and have to be propped up and propped up and propped up. And really, all you've done is done harm to those children. So I say, how should you deal with them that come to the altar asking questions about being saved? Very carefully. Be careful, because you're dealing with the souls of men, even though there may be children. I do say this, young children, they many times need to be left alone because they're safe. S-A-F-E. Under the precious grace of God, they're safe, just like David's child. Whenever the child died, David said, I can't bring him back, but I can go where he is. And David was a saved man, so he knew that his son was going into heaven, as because he was saved. Some people believe that God sends children to hell. Not so. They're safe. I have an example of that, where in the book of in the Old Testament, at Kadesh Barnea, when the children of Israel would not enter in at Kadesh Barnea into the land of Canaan, God said, all of you 20-year-old and up will die. But those under 20-year-old, they would not die. Why? Well, the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy 1:39 about those. Moreover, your little ones, which he said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. In other words, he said all of them under 20 years old in that day had no knowledge of good and evil. And that was where the knowledge of accountability comes. In that day, it was 20 years old. Now, I'm not saying you have to be 20 years old to be saved. No way would I say that. But I do say you better leave these little children alone and let God speak to their heart. Let him bring them to himself. I know people use this scripture, such as Mark chapter 10, verse number 13 to 15, and say this is why you need to win your little children to the Lord at an early age. And they'll use this scripture, where the Bible said in verse 13 of Mark 10, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And Jesus is not saying, win your little children to the Lord there. He's just saying to his disciples, who were saying, in essence, don't bother Jesus. He's too busy to take care of little children. So when children come, you need to spend time with them. You need to try to answer their questions as best you can. But you need to leave the work of salvation to the Lord and let God bring them to the point of the knowledge of accountability, and allow Holy Ghost conviction to work, complete itself in the area of sin, righteousness, and judgment, that they might be saved. Oh, but you say, preacher, they're just a young child. They don't have all the sins to deal with that we've got in our older age. They won't have to be dealt with in the same way. Oh, but they will. You see, no man's going to be saved except they deal with their sin. And you say, but they're young. They don't have sin. Oh, yes, they do. They come forth from the mother's womb speaking lies, the Bible says, and therefore they have sin. And listen, when God deals with their sin, he's not dealing so much with lying, stealing, drinking, adultery, and murder. He's dealing with the root problem of unbelief. And unbelief is a wicked sin, and it's in every child. A child, you see, is born dead, spiritually separated from God. Bible says that we're born that way because we're made in the image of Adam. We're separated from God because of Adam's sin, because of his transgression, because he fell. And children have no consciousness of God. And you say, but they do. They talk about Jesus all the time. They're mimicking what you've taught them. And it's right to teach them about Jesus and about God and the things of God. And they'll imitate you and your questions. And they'll come with questions about this and that because they're naturally inquisitive. So don't forbid them to come. But that's what Jesus is saying here. Let them come. They're not taking up my time. I'll be glad to talk with them anytime and even touch them in that sense. But he's saying here, of such is the kingdom of God. Many children who've never reached the knowledge of accountability have died, and they're in the kingdom of God today. They're there today. And also when he says there in verse 15 that they need to forbid them not, for he says also receive for, in other words, that whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. In other words, a child has faith, a childlike faith, and they'll trust you. You can put them up on top of a refrigerator and tell them to jump off, and they'll just sail right off into your arms. That's childlike faith. They'll trust you, what you say you'll do. And every person who's saved has got to come to that place to where they totally put their reliance upon the Lord. And that's where saving faith comes, and that's a gift of God. He's got to impart that. But that's got to be worked in every child. And therefore, the kingdom of God is received like little children with childlike faith. They just simply trust God and believe, obey the gospel, believe what God said. So therefore, you need to be very, very careful how you deal with children. First of all, one thing, we've heard many falsehoods taught about children of God, being children and how to deal with them. I remember one time being in a meeting, a revival meeting years ago, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. The people were in such a state of confusion, and all the young people didn't really know where they're at. They had doubt. They had confusion. I've never seen such a mess in my life. But it took me to Friday night before I really realized what was happening. And what was happening was that the one who was really in charge of the church, who was a woman, which is unscriptural, and it wasn't the pastor, because the pastor had passed on and they didn't really have a pastor. So this woman was running the church in a sense. And she was telling all of the Sunday school teachers to win these children at an early age. By the time they're 3 or 4 years old, win them to the Lord. And in other words, make them, get them, carry them through the sinner's prayer and whatnot. That I don't know what method they may have used. But and then she told these people, and keep that before them so that they won't forget what happened. Folks, that's a falsehood. If God does a work in a child's heart, whatever age they are, there's going to be a work of Holy Ghost conviction that's going to deal with the root sin of unbelief, and a sin of unbelief is wicked. And they're going to know that a time and place and what happened, what transpired at that place. And therefore, this was a falsehood that this woman was teaching these people to do this. And as a result, many of them, even still today, are in a turmoil. Many, some of them are lost and know it. Some of them are lost and don't know it. And the sad part about it is that they're going to die and go to hell because somebody misused God's word on them. They short-circuited the work of the Holy Spirit. And in other words, because they thought little children can come unto the Lord. Now, Jesus said, don't forbid them to come. And don't forbid them to come to your altar. Let them come. I don't care if they come 25 times. In the past, I've had an individual who came to the altar, and some people were upset about them coming to the altar so many times, and I didn't win them to the Lord. Well, they didn't even know what they were coming for. Basically, what this individual was coming for was for me to tell him, I love him. I love him. I love him. And we need to do that. So don't forbid them to come, but let God deal with their heart. Let him bring them to themselves. In fact, a child at an early age cannot even think abstract. And God is abstract, and faith is abstract. Therefore, a child cannot be saved until they can think abstract. And therefore, I don't know where that's at exactly. I know one time on the radio, there was a personality there that had a man on there that was, I guess, a psychologist or something. I don't know what they were. But they made the statement that a person cannot think abstract until they reached at least 7 or 8 years old. Well, and then I heard later a professor at a college, and one of our young men was going to college, and out of the clear blue, he brought up the fact that a child cannot think abstract until they reach puberty. Now, I don't know where they can think abstract. That's not the important part. But I do know that every child has to be dealt with by the Holy Ghost of God. It's not preacher salvation. It's not mom and daddy salvation. It's the Holy Ghost has got to do that work. So leave them alone. Let God teach them. Let God bring them to himself. Let him work. You preach to them. You tell them the truth. And don't forbid them to come. Talk to them. Love them. And instruct them. But realizing they're safe till they reach the knowledge of accountability. And then it takes a work of God in their heart that they might be saved. And if you try to move in and take control, you're playing God. You're playing the Holy Ghost. And you're short-circuiting the work. And what happens is that would cause them to make a false profession and be deceived. And then they'll have doubts and confusion. Now, many of those who made those early childhood decisions, so-called, and professions, they go on in life and they get in sin when they're in teenage years. And then because they've been taught that they were saved back when mama said they were, or when the preacher said they were, they thought they were saved, so therefore they so-called get right with the Lord, rededicate their life, and begin to live better, go to church and do some things. Folks, they never were saved. They never were saved. Don't tell people that they're okay when they're not okay. I know that many who short-circuit the work are what Jesus talked about, the Pharisees who go about. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he's made, you've made him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." And there's many today who are notching their gun belts, or gospel gun belt, with souls that they've won because they got them to pray the sinner's prayer in the sandbox somewhere out in the playground. Now, I want to tell you what, leave them alone. Don't deceive them. You see, I remember back when I was 10 years old, I moved from the back seat kind of, or back there where the boys sat during one of our revival meetings, and began to move to the front seat to begin to listen to the preacher. Now, I didn't have any understanding. I didn't even know what it meant to be a Christian. I didn't even know what it meant to be lost. Had no understanding whatsoever. You say, "Preacher, you mean you believe you've got to have some understanding to be saved?" Yes, sir. You've got to have enough about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. And because, you see, the ground's got to be good. Your heart's got to be made good. And the good ground, the good soil in Matthew 13, was the only one who had understanding and was the only one who was saved. But at 10 years old, I remember the preacher coming down that night after so with, I was listening. I don't know that I heard anything he said, but I was attentive. And he asked me, "Was I a Christian?" And he turned his head away from me, wouldn't even look me in the eye. And I told him, "No, sir." Now, I realized later that I thought to be a Christian was being baptized, and I hadn't been baptized. So they came the next day in between the evening service and the night service as a 10-year-old boy and came to my house. I knew what they were coming for in a way, but I didn't know in another way. We got on the floor, and we prayed, I guess. They told me, may have told me what to say. I don't know. I don't remember one thing said. Nothing ever happened in my soul. Nothing ever transpired. But yet I joined the church that night as a result of that act that day. And yet I was deceived. Nothing ever happened. I could tell you what color the wall was, the couch was, and the floor, what the old house looked like. Still see it till the day. But there was not one thing I remember those preachers said. Not one thing was done in my heart. I had not yet reached the knowledge of accountability. And I was safe. And yet I went for years with that false profession, thinking that I was saved there, or because I did what the preacher said for me to do, in essence, and did those things, but I was never saved at that time. May God help us to leave children alone till they reach the knowledge of accountability, and let God bring them to the end of themselves and save them. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again, on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.